We live in the era, our very own time, of what ethicists and metaphysicists term post-truth. Post-truth. In short, the old notions and meanings and understandings of truth no longer exist. And they no longer apply to our lives and our lifestyle, so they say. They no longer control our behavior, guide our thinking, structure our morality, or in any other meaningful, life-giving way, influence our thinking or our behavior. So, they say. Scary times, don't you think? If, in fact, there is no such thing as truth, at least absolute truth, how do we live? If, for example, our Constitution is a guide only and not to be applied in its exact, original, and textual way, and if our laws and statutes, rules and regulations are subject to interpretation or, in fact, not applied in a uniform way, how do we live? The principles by which we have lived are consistently changing. There is no, it seems, absolute moral authority. What happened to it? Or governing laws that are uniform and uniformly applied. Why is that not the case? And forget about the Ten Commandments. Too absolute, I suppose. Then, again, how do we live? Obviously, we live in a world where anything goes, so it seems. And it seems further as though anything does go in this ever-immoral and truth-irrelevant age. Old standards and principles, old traditions, and old ways of thinking have gone by the board. A new moral and even legal relativism now exists where what is right changes day to day, so it seems. Right is defined as what is right for the times and the circumstances and the individual. We determine, so they say, what is right for us and at the time. Judges bend the law and overinterpret, and they nullify, and can often reach prejudiced and wrong decisions. The clergy waters down the scriptures, interprets away, and ignores much of the Judeo-Christian fundamentals. Boy, that really bothers me, does it not you? And the era and morality, or perhaps its immorality, of post-truth grows, and it seems to absorb everything. This kind of metaphysics, this post-truth thinking, surely invades the world of politics, and even science. Like global warming, there are what many accuse the Trump administration of, the so-called alternative facts, that is, made up, and subjective, and changing, which, in the world of the media, leads to the establishment of fake news. Fake news, that is, made up. Lots of spin. And that is offered with the slimmest of evidences, or in some cases, none at all. It is, it seems, a day and age where fear and deep uncertainty and concern rule the day. Do you feel that way? It is as though belief, whether group or individual, no matter how flimsy, is elevated to the level of truth. We are living, said one, in the age of lying. Can you believe that? We live in the age of lying. For in this post-truth era, a lie could have the very standing of truth itself. Many think, without absolute truth, it is impossible to define or understand or live by truth. By any kind of truth, or standards for that matter. Today, there are many definitions of truth, and some think it is impossible to define. Unbelievable. And so, we wrestle all the time with the age-old question posed by Pilate, who said as he questioned Jesus of Nazareth, "What is truth? What is truth?" For Pilate, there was no answer other than perhaps the Roman one that might makes right. Pilate never realized that he was encountering truth incarnate in Jesus Christ. In fact, that innocent man judged by Pilate told his world then and ours today that he was in fact the way, the truth, and the life. To understand him and his moral code was in fact the truth. I sure believe that. How about you? The philosopher William James said of truth, "Truth is what works best in leading us." Again, truth is what works best in leading us. You buy that? Leading us to solutions and practical problems. Such a definition as such must be always changing, and never stable or absolute, but only what society and individuals think is best, that which leads us. Such a definition would make it almost impossible to live a consistent and collective lifestyle, first for oneself, and then, of course, for society at large. With others, it seems as though we the people live on guard for the lie. Even in our very closest relationships, family and friends, we suspect that we very seldom ever get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We get some version, or spin, or individual interpretation, or rationalization, or perhaps flat-out lie from even our very own family. Is that the case with yours? We seem so hardened to the lie that we are not surprised by it. Children can lie by omission or commission. Even husbands and wives do the very same when necessary or expedient. A business turns away from a wayward employee, failing to discipline, fearing to fire. Even the clergy lowers the bar on truth. We the people take it for granted that a politician lies, we do, don't we? And in fact, cannot succeed in politics unless he or she does, in fact, lie. There is, it seems, in this era of post-truth, that there really is little or no trust. There is declining integrity everywhere, and an ever-creeping immorality without accountability. Post-truth thinking is corrosive. It's degenerating, and eventually may well destroy a once well-structured and traditionalist thinking society. The post-truth era beliefs divide people into antagonistic camps, and often so many of them. We, each side says, we know the truth, and we are right, and you, the other, you are wrong. Democrats, progressives, and liberals are right, the possessors of the real truth, and the Republicans, the conservatives, and constitutionalists, they are wrong. They are dead wrong, and ne'er the twain shall meet. There really is no dialogue. There's little compromise, and now in politics it seems that might or majorities rule. It will be done our way, whatever it takes. Such a vision of truth then becomes isolated, its system of beliefs hanging together, ossifying, hardening, and of course at times dead wrong themselves. We are forced to accept that powerful version of truth, whether we like it or not, or whether we believe it or not. Such an end result of things can be indeed disastrous for society. How do we live in this so-called era of post-truth? How do we live? But still, even today, there are many millions upon millions who know intuitively and intellectually that there is absolute truth, and it is unchanging, and it is eternal. They may not grasp the meaning of truth, all truth, but that, in fact, is buried deep in the heart, don't you think? It's put there. It's put there by the Creator. It's a check and balance, a conscience, a sensitivity to right and wrong, an eternal guide for the lifestyle and decision-making of mankind. And it becomes visible to society in norms like, thou shalt not kill. Don't you feel that deep inside without having to be told not to kill? And it especially admonishes us, this internal conscience, not to lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness. But we do. Which, of course, means that we live by and communicate the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. We may ignore those norms, but, in fact, they are right. The truthful laws, whether we observe them or not. It is as though the heart acts as a lie detector, warning us we are off target, that we have erred, or in biblical terms, we have sinned. And a repentance and forgiveness should follow. There should be a course correction in behavior and a return to the right moral norm. Such a moral sensitivity is even more powerful than the law itself. And any discipline or punishment it metes out, it's more powerful. The heart of mankind is. No matter how pervasive the new moral relativism may be, no matter how morally compromised our society and we the people have become, there is, in fact, absolute law, in my opinion, absolute truth, and an absolute morality. It is not changing as men would wish, not changing for the times, or for the circumstances, or for the individual. It existed from the beginning, and it will still exist when all things end, as they will. For the Christian, we find and we know that truth from Scripture, the Bible as our guide. We find it most clearly in Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of glory, and all that he said and how he lived. We find it through prayer to the Father, and as we are guided and comforted by the Spirit. We can know by living in a constant state of prayer and meditation and thoughtful communion with the divine and all things eternal what real truth is. The process of understanding truth never ends, but it's always right. The Apostle Paul told us that we see through a glass darkly. That is, we will never know fully and completely the truth, but there will come a time when, face to face, we will know. But we can know enough now to know how to live, what is right, and most especially, unlike Pilate, what is truth. It exists for all mankind in the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And that is for millions upon millions of mankind the only way.